Whenever the Jews celebrate the Seder, it's always the job of the smallest child to make this statement. Why is this night different than any other night? Well, as Catholics, we come together on this Palm Sunday, and we don't ask about the night, we ask about the week. Why is this week different than any other week? Why is it so important to us? And the answer to that is very simple. If you want to know who you are as a Catholic, if you want to know what it means to be a Christian, then this week will show you loud and clear. It will give you the answers to your questions as to why we believe what we believe. What does it mean to say that we are reborn in Christ? What does it mean to say we participate in his death? And what does it mean to say we'll be raised on the last day? All those questions are answered this week, and I find that we need to answer these questions more and more. I teach in the afternoon a course on the sacraments to 42 candidates for the permanent diaconate, and we were all talking today in class that almost two generations of Catholics now are largely uncatechized. In the past 40 years, not too many Catholics know a lot about their faith. What it is we believe, why it is we believe it, the reality of the sacraments, the importance of the forgiveness of sins. And I can tell that. The people I listen to, the people I talk to, the students I teach. That in some cases, many of the faithful are suffering from a severe identity crisis. What is Catholicism all about? And if we wonder why people are leaving the church, it's because maybe the fact we haven't taken the time to tell them why they should stay. Well, I'm here tonight to tell the choir, because you're all the choir, you're here. Good voice or not, you're the choir, and I'm going to be preaching to the choir tonight. But maybe all you choir members can let the other people know. But this great week that we call Holy Week, that centers on the sacred triduum of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, the Easter Vigil, and Easter Sunday, is the core of what it means to be a Christian. And it tells us about faith and hope and charity, the three virtues that every Christian needs to possess. Virtues are things that we live every day. Virtues are things that we make a part of our life that shape our existence. And so we have the virtue of faith, and faith is a gift from God. And in that gift, we recognize the fact that in looking at our life and in looking at the world, we are seriously lacking something. We were created for something that we don't have. And we're looking for it. We want to know where it is. And once we are aware of that lack, that weakness, that failing, then we begin to look. And people are looking all over the place. They look to Dr. Phil. They look to Oprah. God knows they look to every, you know, nickel and dime person around. They're not going to find the answer there, though. They find the answer in one place. They find it in Jesus Christ. That he is the one who provides all of our answers. Why is that? Because he is the Son of God who has taken on our human nature. He took on every single thing that it meant to be human. He took on everything except sin, because actually sin is not being human. Sin is acting inhumanly. And so God knows every part of our life. He knows our strengths, he knows our weaknesses, he knows our faults. And in the midst of all of that, he died for us, knowing all the stuff, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the unspeakable, he died for us. And so recognizing what we're lacking, recognizing that it's in Jesus, we make this choice to say that Jesus Christ is going to be the one around whom I will center my life, that I will obey his teachings and the teachings that his church has given. I will live life the way he has asked me to live life, a life of prayer, a life of service, a life of charity and joy and generosity, a life that has suffering in it, but a life that has great hope. Because that brings us to the second virtue of hope. Hope rests in faith. Once we know that Christ is going to be our anchor, we have to ask ourselves, where's it going to end? Because we live our life and, you know, sometimes you feel like you're hanging. Like, Lord, you got me this far, where's everything else? And this is where hope comes in, because hope is the virtue that God gives us, the talent the gift that says, I started something in you in faith. And starting it in you, I have given you gifts. I have given you opportunities. I have given you my love. I have given you many different graces. And I am not finished with you yet. And so you need to hang around and recognize the fact that I'm going to be with you always. I'm going to help you become who I created you to be. And the virtue of hope is all about knowing that God started something in us and he's going to finish it if we let him. And in recognizing that faith and that hope comes then the ultimate response we can make, which is that of love. To recognize in Jesus Christ all the goodness and more goodness in this world can hold, more beautiful than the most beautiful thing in this world, more true than anything we can put our stock in this world, is Christ. And we love him. We love him with all of our hearts. We put ourselves in his arms. We say, Lord, only you can care for me. Only you can provide what I need. And in doing that, we live out those virtues of faith, hope, and love. And every single one of them is what we talk about Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil. Holy Thursday, we gather as the church to do what? To call to mind the great gift of the Holy Eucharist. We recall on that night, Jesus instituted the priesthood. He said, this church I am founding needs leaders, needs men that I can shape, that I can form, that can be my instruments to make this world a holy world and to help all the people get to heaven. And so he chose those 12 men. Now we know they weren't all peaches. Some of them, had their own problems. Thank goodness he overlooked them when he caught me, otherwise I'd be far down on the list. But he chose these men and said, you will be my representatives, the first bishops of the church. You will be the ones to feed the flock. You will be the ones to guide my people. Help them see my way, Christ's way, and give them the encouragement and the strength to live that way. And after installing these men, choosing them for the sacrament of holy orders, he then institutes the greatest of all sacraments, that of his body and his blood. That he says, we as a people on a journey of faith, going hopefully to the fullness of the kingdom, but it's through some interesting roads, we're going to need to be fed on this journey. And God's not just going to feed us with anything. He's going to give us himself. He's going to give us his body and his blood. And that's why he says, take and eat. This is my body. This is my blood. That who we receive is Jesus Christ. Who we receive is God. God feeds us with himself. Now, I've heard people say, Father, I'm coming to church and I'm not being fed. I said, we're giving you God himself. What else can we have? What else is there? And so the question sometimes not in who we're receiving, but how we're receiving him. Do we recognize who he is? Do we recognize that it came at the cost of his crucifixion, his death on the cross? That those gifts, his body that was broken by the many beatings and scourges, the blood that was poured out from the wounds that covered him, as he paid the price for our sins, not his, ours. And he still says, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood. And no matter what your sin is, there is hope that sin will be forgiven. There is nothing broken that can't be fixed. There is nothing broken that can't be fixed. And the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist tells us that. And receiving that great gift, we have life, and we have hope, and we know that all along the way, no matter how dark the path may get, no matter how windy or foggy it may be, God is always with us because he's going to see us through to the end. And seeing us through to the end is what we look at when we look to Good Friday. When we come, we don't celebrate Mass that day. We use the Holy Eucharist that was consecrated at the Mass on Holy Thursday. And we come and recognize the real sacrifice that day is the sacrifice of Calvary. And so we come and we hear the word of the Lord, the passion of St. John. We come and see the one who was crucified for our sins, who took on our offenses, who the one who knew no sin, who became sin for us. And then we come and we venerate that cross. We hold up the cross, say, this is the cross on which hung the Savior of the world. Come, let us worship him. And we come and we venerate that cross. We hug and embrace the cross because that is the answer to our suffering. We know we can endure suffering. We know we can come out on the other end of suffering because Christ has suffered and he still suffers in every person. If you're here tonight, if you're sick, if you have an illness, Christ is suffering in you right now. And he's not just suffering in you, he is suffering with you to give you the hope that this is not the end. Suffering is not the end. But suffering is a time of purification. Suffering is a time of enlightenment, of us seeing what is really valuable, what is really true in the world, and cutting out all that malarkey which leads us away from God. I've never met a person yet who was hospitalized or sick that didn't reorganize their thinking as to what was important. Sickness and death tend to do that to a person. But we recognize as Catholics when we commemorate the Lord's death on Good Friday that we don't do that alone. If we did it alone, all we could do is despair. But because Christ has died for us, we hope that there is more to this life than death, which brings us into the Easter Vigil, that tremendous night when we come and recognize that in this darkness, this black, impenetrable mystery of death, all of a sudden a single light is lit. From the Easter fire, the Easter candle was lit, and we come into the church each bearing our own candle saying, Christ is our light. And that's God saying, you think that the darkness has the final word? Think again. Death looked God straight in the eye, and death blinked. And we see the light coming slowly into the church. So that at the Easter Vigil, we come and recognize the fact Christ is our light. And not only is it our light, he is the world's light. He illumines truth. He illumines the great beauty that when we see Christ, the world in Christ's light, we see the opportunity of God's grace reaching out to us, grasping us. And from that great light, we recognize the faith, the enlightenment that some people have come to as they wish to be initiated into the Catholic faith and become Christians through baptism, through those life-giving waters which make us young again. The sacrament of baptism is our fountain of youth. Because we all know the most hopeful people are the young. They have their whole life in front of them. And as Christians, we look at our life and we say, God is in front of me, God is behind me, and God is helping me reach him. And so we remind ourselves as we renew our baptismal promises that we have this dignity of not just being Christians, but of being Christ. That we are anointed with the Holy Spirit, we are baptized into Christ's death and resurrection so that we may see the world in a different way. That we can see the world as a world in which God is present, in which his hope is active, in which suffering has meaning, in which the fact all of us will one day find God's joy if we walk that path. And so in looking at that, we recognize that in these days to come, if you want to know who you are, this is the time to come and find out. Come and see what God has offered us. Come and see what brought God's action about. And then come and see how God has taken us out of our lowliness and out of our sinfulness and raised us up to the dignity of the children of God in the great sacrament of baptism. He has washed us clean of sin. He has given us a new white baptismal garment. He has put a candle in our hand to say, this is the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And he anoints our head with oil to anoint us with the Holy Spirit, that we will have the courage to be the witness of Christ in the world. Because that's what it means to be a Christian, to know that Christ died for us, to know that in our dying with him in baptism, we have a new life. And that new life is not just a new way of thinking, it's a new way of living. That our behavior changes, our morality becomes much clearer. We know what is right and what is wrong. We know what is true and what is false. And when we know it, it's still hard to live it. But the Lord knows it's hard. And so he gives us the Holy Spirit to say, this is the strength to carry you through those difficult times. This is a strength that you're going to need as God begins to fix what was broken in us. And not just repair it, but renew it. Because we know usually once things get broken, when they're put back together, they're fragile. You don't want to hit that broken spot twice. That's not the same when we talk about our Christian faith. Not at all. We are solid in Christ. But we want now to be solid in Him. We need to have Him as that center. And to recognize that these next days to come are days when these realities become really real. They're not ideas. They're not things of the past. They happen right now. Christ's body and blood, Christ crucified, Christ raised from the dead are happening right now because Christ is alive right now. And if we live that way, then we will live in a way that is truly worthy of the title Christian. But more importantly, worthy of us to our baptismal dignity of being Christ's. So as we prepare for this week through this Palm Sunday liturgy, let us ask the Lord again to remind us who we are, to show us our heritage, to show us our roots, so that we can grab onto them and let them go deeper into our heart and deeper into our soul, so that we will always know what we're about. And once we have that, we will never be shaken, but we will be confident and we will be hopeful, because God started something in us and He's not going to leave us, not even when we're finished. When we're finished, we're going to go to Him and be with Him in a way that we can't even begin to imagine. That life of heavenly glory, that life of light, that life of true, unconditional divine love.